All right, so we're going to talk about stopping and fasting. Here's what Americans like. Yeah, we do a lot of this. We work a lot. We like eating, and we love media. Did you know that? We're big on these three, and they take a lot of our life up. And so a couple things on that is, just to give you an idea, is did you know that compared to most industrialized nations, we work about a month more a year, and they think we're crazy than most industrialized nations. And we're talking about more than England, the English, more than French, more than Germans, Norwegians, and we're even beating out the Japanese right now. It's pretty wild, right? When we're Americans, if we're working really hard at 40 hours, we kind of feel guilty, like we're slacking. That's just our paradigm. We're big on working. We blur lines. We have we're working. And our life just starts getting all, with all the technology, it gets kind of blurred all together. And, before cell phones were even out, back when cell phones were cool versus being an annoyance, they were cool. And I remember this one guy comes in, and he has two beepers and this thing on his thing. And I said, "What are those things?" And he says, and I was kind of impressed. He goes, "They're my leash." And I said, "That is a prophetic word. They're my leash. I can't get away from work. They track me. If they don't get me on this beeper, they get me on this beeper, and they get me on this cell phone." And so we have to realize that we have a lot of things coming at us. Now I understand there's people who have to work because they got to make ends meet, but understand that we have a lot of people who could work less, but because of the pressure of culture, they say, "No, I need to work more because I need more money." And they could work less. They have options, but we just work a lot. Now, the other thing we have is we love eating. we have, 17 to $20 a day on eating, okay? Hard to figure these things out. I think they're all just guesses myself. But the reality of it is, and the thing about our food in the United States, ironically, it's cheaper than most places, even poor countries. And so we eat a lot. So we overconsume, but we beat everybody. So we really can brag on that. We eat more than anybody, I went to the grocery store the other day, Deerberg's down here, and there was a band playing last night. I mean, something's wrong here. We like food way too much. We have Channel 9s on our channel. There's all these public, and just food. One time Debbie and I were at Kirkwood, downtown. We were walking. We said, "Where do we go?" And of course, we're in that terrible American dilemma. I don't like anything. I don't know where to go. There's no choices here, So finally, decide a place. This is where we'll go. We're not sure because it could be this, and I don't know about this, and I'm not quite as good a salad as this. I mean, this is how bad it is. And as I'm sitting there waiting for my order, I just decided to count up how many restaurants we had a choice of because I was so upset. 30, within walking distance. If I would have been out 2 miles, it went to 100. You know what I'm saying? One-third of the world lives on less than $3 a day. And so we have to understand that we like food. We also like media. We love the radio. We love music. We love Facebook. We love YouTube. YouTube, this is a good one. YouTube. Now, you need to catch up with YouTube and make sure you watch everything's on YouTube, right? I've been trying that, okay? And I realize my frustration level now, why it's so difficult. It's that... Yeah, right now, there's 3 billion views per day on YouTube. 72 hours of video are... 72 hours, this is off their site, of video is uploaded per minute. To give you an idea is that during the time of this service, if you had everything stored on your computer at home of all the video that's been uploaded, and you decided, starting Monday, you're going to start watching. You start at 6 in the morning, you end at 10 at night, you eat through it as you're watching it, and you take in what was recorded during this hour and a half, you'd be over a year. So give up on trying to catch up with YouTube. I've changed my ways. I've decided I can't do it anymore. So we have to understand that we have cable TV. We have the average, they say now, 7 hours a day. Most TVs are on in the home. 4.5 hours people are watching them in the home. We have 6.4, who knows, the 6.4, something like that, a lot of hours engaging with media every day. That's the average. All right, so cut in half, you're still in trouble. All right, so it's like, it's pretty amazing what we have. And so, and in this time, we have 400 to 600 advertisements that we're going, that are trying to get us affected, paying lots of money to figure out how to. So we have 400 to 600 advertisements we're dealing with. And, you know, what we see in advertisements in 1 year, 50 years ago, no one has seen that many in a lifetime. You know, so we have to realize it's a pretty busy place. It was great last week. Bob Tarr talked about the idea of getting alone with God and shutting the closet. I love that he said, shut the door and lock it. And so, and the reason we do that, he says, you know, he says, we our heart is the temple of God. So he said this, there's this image of this temple in a foreign country, and there's monkeys all over the place. He says, that's a really good image. We try to get the temple heart, our heart, and there's just distractions everywhere. We got our monkeys to deal with. They're just everywhere. And what I'm saying is this, if when we're exposed to 600 ads and we're checking out everybody's life's Facebook posts, and we just found out, and then we watch the news, we find out what's new on how we're going to get cancer, and we watch the war, and we have the commentary, and we have the political stuff, and we have all these worldviews being communicated to us at one time, everywhere we go, it increases our monkeys. I mean, it increases our distraction. It's hard to settle. And we have to understand it's difficult. All right. Now, the thing about it is Jesus was pro-hard work, you know? He wasn't saying be lazy. He was pro-hard work. He loved food, and, I mean, he used that as his illustration of good things, you know, of food and banquets and wine, good wine. I mean, he loved that. And so he wasn't against that. I don't know what Jesus felt about media. It's hard to get that in the text, you know? I thought about this, is would Jesus have Facebook? He could be a friend to many sinners, you know, and so it could be like, I don't know what that exactly would look like. Does that translate, you know, media-wise? But what we do know with Jesus very clearly is he would say this, is if there's anything that you are doing that ends up distracting, whether it's a good thing or not, that's taking away from what's really important, which is loving God and relating to him and loving those around you, he's going to say, we've got to stop that. That's not going to be good for your soul. And we need to understand that. Because, you know, we can make a good thing, a really good thing, a bad thing. It's this whole thing of media and all that. It's not just a bad thing. It's just that it can become our leash. It can be our master. It can be the spot that it starts filling places instead of God. It can dull us and cause us to be distracted to the place that we're not connected with God. It can blind us from seeing beauty of creation. It can blind us to our own heart, and it can blind us to our purpose on this earth. And most of all, it can just blind us to who God is. And so it's important of how we deal with that. Now, here's that all said, here's where I'm going. I'm wanting to challenge you to consider stopping more and consider fasting more, or even for the first time. And to do it somewhat regularly. So there's times in which that you've decided you're going to stop and your stomach's growling and telling you, go look in that refrigerator. It's calling for you. That burger down the street, you got, you know, whatever. You say no. Because you don't want it to distract you. Or when you're at that spot in which that you shut off media and you start getting the Facebook shakes to check the status. And you just say, no, you don't answer your phone. Oh, my gosh, this is getting to heresy, isn't it? You don't answer your emails, you know, none of that. So you say no to that. And I wanted a spot where when you're just going, and you think you need to do, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stop, you know. And so that's where we're going today. Now, you know, as we, I want everybody to kind of get that a little bit better. And I just say this is a teaching for me. This is something that is deep in my heart, but it's only because of great pain that I realized how poor I was for a good portion of my time with God. And over the last three or four years, that's shifting a lot. And the benefits are fantastic. But I'm going to have a long ways to go. So I'm far from an expert on any of this, but I know enough to know it's a really good thing, partly because the Scripture says it, but partly because I know it. And you need to know it more and more. And some of you are even way ahead of me on this, but we need to understand how to stop. Now, a couple of assumptions that I have. First off, I'm assuming this. I'm assuming that you're going too fast right now because you're an American. I'm assuming that you're going too fast and you still have pulls to go faster. That's just kind of our culture that we live in. I'm also assuming that stopping what you normally do and maybe even like is not probably a strong area for you. Now, if you say, it is for me, bless you. For the rest of us, you can keep listening. All right? How about this? Is that I would imagine some of you regularly fast. I actually know that. And some of you are irregularly fast. Some of you have fasted before and kind of quit doing that. Some of you said, I've tried that one time and that's terrible, so I'm not doing it anymore. So we have all the different spots. if you laughed, that doesn't mean you relate with that person. But some of you think of fasting as bizarre, kind of like, you guys look like normal people. This is for gurus. This is for these spiritual people up there. You never thought of yourself as somebody who would fast. And some of you see it as real important. Some of you see it not very important. Some of you don't. It's not even on your radar, right? I understand. That's sort of the assumptions I'm coming in this with. But we have to understand that in fasting throughout Scripture, we see it throughout the Scripture. We see it Old Testament and New Testament, okay? There's a book by John Piper called A Hunger for God, and that would give you, we're not going to have depth time on fasting, but to get a more in-depth type, that's a good book you can go through. In the Old Testament, they had their main fast, the Day of Atonement. It was required by all of Israel. It was part of what God said to do. There's also three or four other fasts. One was a three-day fast that Esther started. And so we have these set fasts that we see in the Old Testament. And then we see these other fasts where people are just doing it as part of their relationship with God. And we see this carry on as well. The reasons people fast is they set days for special occasions and focus. They had called fasts. They had individual fasts. We see that some of this transfer even into the New Testament. And so we see people fasting on particular occasions. The Jewish leaders typically in the New Testament were fasting 2 days a week on Mondays and Thursdays, you know. We see Anna, who was in the temple, and her whole life was prayer and fasting, and she brought in the Messiah. That's pretty good stuff. We see this throughout. We see Jesus taught on fasting. We see the church was directed in particular times with prayer and fasting. So it's a normal part of our spirituality with God and our walk with God. It should be part of our prayer. And it's something that's both in the Old Testament, it's also in the New Testament. Now, when you see fasting, we can often see it in ways that we see it as so high, like I talked about, like, you know, it's for the monks, it's for that, and so we discount it saying, oh, that's not for me. Or we see it as low as it's unimportant and some Old Testament stuff, it's not that highlighted. Or, you know, here's a good one, it's too complicated, okay? I wouldn't know how to fast. How would I do that? I've learned that anything I don't want to do, it's complicated. You know? You know, sound like you get, I don't know, it's just complicated. Really, it's not that complicated. So to help you out on that is like fasting, the definition, the English word of fasting is to go without food officially. Okay, that's it. You know. Now if you get into the Greek and the Hebrew, it's really go without food. And so it's kind of simple. You know? So if you want to fast, you go without food. And you talk to God while you're doing that. That's pretty much fasting. Now, there's a few things we want to go through in particular things, but I also have put this in not just fasting. I'm saying fasting and stopping because it's going without food is truly, when you're biblically talking about, that's typically what it's talking about, a fast. But we also see, which is still very biblical, is this understanding of stopping, okay? Fasting from things for the sake of a better thing. You know, even in a marriage relationship, it says, hold back sex. Jesus likes sex in a marriage relationship. For a greater purpose until these things happen. And, you know, so we see good things. We see this throughout Scripture. We see holding back something that even is really good for something even better. So, and we see it all the way through Scripture. But we're going to probably just be referring to that term to simplify it, fasting, which is including, you know, and we're going to be thinking in your mind, we're going to be thinking of these things of food, you know, and work and media. And it's kind of, it may go other places, but that should cover a lot of it. When we get that figured out, we'll go to other places, all right? So let's look at a scripture. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew. This is a great scripture because it's Jesus giving really practical teaching on fasting to help you the simple things to get started. Now, one thing I would say about this whole thing of is fasting that important? You know, of all the things that we see, you're thinking, does that really apply today? Oh my goodness. The very purpose of fasting, well, what we have coming at us, I mean, what we have driving us in every angle like we talked about, man, if there's anything that we need is to learn how to stop and learn how to fast. So here's Jesus explaining. Now, again, we talked about this last week about this tied into prayer and how you go in your prayer closet. He continues on and says, now, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, or lotion, and clean your face up, or wash your face, you know, pinch your cheeks, get some red in there, so that you will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he's unseen, he sees what's done in secret, will reward you. Now, as we think about that, this is so practical. First off, in verse 16, it starts out by saying, when you fast. Not if you fast, when you fast. It goes and continues in 16, and it says, don't fast for others to see. One of the best things you can do when you're fasting is just don't tell anybody. You might have to tell a few people, but don't broadcast it. That will automatically, it's like shutting the door on it does something when you don't broadcast it. So do not broadcast it as you go through it. Also, you look at it and it says, you know, not only that is, even when you're fasting, let's say you have a longer fast and you're getting a little droopy and your face is sagging and your stomach's growling, you know, fake it. You know, just don't intentionally figure out ways that you're not telling people about it. That's how important doing it for not broadcasting before people is. And then understand that when you fast, God will see it. There's something about that. It connects in your prayer life in a way that God sees and moves on your behalf, and it affects the way you pray. Now, I remember when I first was a Christian and I read this verse and I thought, okay, I got the plan. It's pretty ABC here. So didn't tell anybody. I went and I decided I was going to fast. That's hard not to tell anybody because I was thinking it was pretty cool. I was so spiritual fasting, but I couldn't tell anybody. So I tried that. I was expecting. I was waiting for this experience, this level of God. What I experienced was a really empty stomach hurting. And I had a headache. And I didn't get more spiritual. I actually got meaner. I actually was very irritable towards people, but I couldn't show that to them. I remember when I got done, I thought, why did I do this? I didn't know why I did it. I did it because the Bible said it, and in my church it was the Bible said it, that settles it, so I just did it, you know? And so I thought, okay. I did learn a lot about myself, actually, but it's important, that's a good question, is why do people fast in the Bible? And so as we look in the Bible, and this is going to be a little bit of a flyover, but, you know, it's the first thing you have to understand, this is part of our prayer to God. It's an aspect of our communication and communion with God. You know, what I realize is fasting, it has to be part of prayer. If it's not. See, I was just fasting. I wasn't talking much. I wasn't interacting. I was just doing that thing. I was checking that off my list. A couple of things fasting is not. It's not to earn acceptance. You know, like I've done this now, God. Can you accept me? Any more than prayer is to earn acceptance. You know, it's not to earn acceptance. It's not to lose weight. Okay. Now you can fast to lose weight, but I think it's better to keep that separate. You know, it gets a little mixed up. Like, who am I doing this for? Me? So I can look good? Or it's you're going to go crazy. Fast to lose weight. Fast to God, but don't put the two together. A couple of things is that it's not to make God give you things. Okay? And I've seen this, like, it's like a, some people see it like a hunger strike for God. You know, like, okay, I'm going to show you how much you must pay. I'm going to fast. Now you owe me. Give me what you, that's not what it is, right? It's a relational thing. Now, in the Scripture, it's really tied to this whole way of connecting to God better. I mean, we see with King David, we see with Esther and many other places, when people were grieving, when they were sad, and when they were not, they were undone on the inside and they needed help, they started fasting. It helped them connect to God so God could come into places they couldn't get past, they were stuck in. It allowed God to come, and so they fasted in grief. You know, it's a spot where God can speak to us in ways that we normally can't hear without fasting. And it's a way of keeping us from distractions so we're able to hear more. It's also our worship. I mean, we look in Acts 13, it says, while they were worshiping, this is the church, in Acts it says, the Lord, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and the Spirit spoke, talked about Paul and Barnabas and where they were going, and they, after they got done fasting, they sent them out. And so, sometimes it's fasting because you have something God urges you to do because there's something up ahead that you don't know about that you need more power and more ability to do that. The disciples, remember the disciples couldn't cast the demon out of a small child? And he says, why couldn't we do this? And they said, we didn't have faith. We didn't have faith. Well, this is one that comes with prayer and fasting. And he's not talking about right there, you prayer and fast. He's saying that your life, you didn't have enough faith because you weren't connecting to the Father with prayer and fasting. And there's also a spot in which that we're at this kind of crossroads, this transition, two services. it could be big things in your life, a choice you're making, deciding something, a career change. I mean, we see that. And we see like when Paul and Barnabas, when they appointed, it was a big deal, they were appointing elders. They said, I want to make sure my heart's right. So you're just really about that. You're thinking, I want to make sure I'm right here. And fasting was a part of that. And so they prayed and fasted when they chose the elders. So the summary is really this, is that it is part of our prayer. It is not separate from our prayer. So when you take fasting and separate it from moving you towards connecting and communicating in prayer, it's not going to be a good thing. You know, as you think about that is when you're seeking God with all your heart and you're focusing on Him, it's in prayer or worship, right? We know that, right? Most of us do. How do we pray? So it's not just something that just happens. There's a physical side of it. There's a mental side to doing that. And so if we're watching TV at my house and you're over there and I say, let's pray, I would guess you say, let's shut off the TV, right? If we're playing tennis and say, let's worship. I guess we could worship. But as a rule, we're going to say, let's stop playing tennis. Because why? It's distracting us, right? Why do we kneel? Why do we stand? It gets to this place that we're focused. We're able, our physical body gives us a place to do that. We have to say, to not be distracted at times, we have to stop and not do things and not take in things. And so we kneel and we raise our hands and we use our voice and we take our mind and quit thinking about everything as we start praying, right? And we fast. It's part of the continuum of how we pray. Now, when you fast, when I started fasting, I started realizing that as I separated this, I realized that I was missing the very thing with fasting. And in fact, this one verse, it was kind of funny. I actually enjoyed this verse because it just made me laugh. I guess the Bible should make you laugh, but this is Isaiah speaking for God to people who are fasting, but they're not fasting well. And so he's talking about them. He's saying, he's referring to how they're feeling. He says, we have fasted, they say, and you have not seen it. We have humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed. And he goes, yet on the day of your fasting, you did as you pleased and exploited all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. That's a bad fast. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. This is Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and laying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? And you see, they were going through all the motions. Oh, and all the things, laying on sackcloth and showing that, but their heart was not connecting to God. They were irritable. They were not paying attention to their own heart. They were treating people badly. They weren't even letting God speak to them on that particular issue. And they were swinging. That's kind of how I felt on my first fast. Just don't get near me. I'm fasting. I'm spiritual. I'm going to hit you. And sometimes it can be that way. And you have to understand, you can experience all these kind of emotions. You can do this. You can go through the whole routine and just be an irritated mess and miss the whole point and keep, you can fast and keep God at complete arm and limb. I've checked my box. That's what he's looking for. That's not the fast he's looking for. Fasting is married to praying. And so, you know, so put yourself in a position for how it is that you fast and make sure that you pray with that. So have, when you fast or when you stop, have a purpose and say, this is my prayer. And any of those we talked about, saying, this is why I'm doing it. And it can be just a prayer saying, I just want time with you, God. I want to slow down. And I just want to pray. You might not have a particular focus, but know why you're doing it as you do it. Do you understand that stopping is a relational thing with God? Stopping and not doing. I mean, that's what the Sabbath is all about. That's our worship, right? It's stopping. It's resting. It's saying no to things. And so we have to understand that it's a relational thing. Remember the story, which everybody knows, about Martha and Mary, and Jesus goes to their house, right? What's Martha doing, right? Remember that? She's in the kitchen, because that's what you do. You got Jesus there. You're going to get a good deal. I mean, this is like, we got to really impress him. So she's in there getting all the things ready. What's Mary doing? She's sitting at his feet. And what's Martha doing? Getting ticked at Mary because she's all messed up. And Jesus, you got it all wrong. She's worshiping. She's said no to everything that even culturally they would have to say yes to, and saying yes to be near me, to have time with me, to listen to me. So a couple things as far as understanding this. First off, understand that this is an expression of worship. And so here's my challenge for you as a church. You know, I'm not big on challenges, but I really would like you to take this one seriously. And sometimes when I say I challenge, I can almost see you guys writing me off before I say it. So this time, I really mean it. All right? I challenge you for the next 3 months to fast 3 different ways. Okay? Now, I know you can say, it's secret, right? So I don't know what you're going to do, really. So, but I want you to say yes to that. And so, and to do that, I want to kind of give you some real quick tips to help you in this, how do you take this challenge on in these three areas. So because you start out, and let's just start with the food. First off, here's your challenge. A few guidelines is this. If you decide that would be something, I want to take that challenge. Okay? And I hope all of you do. But if you decide that in your heart, go and schedule it today. Go home and write 3 days out and say, these are my days. I'll figure that out. But lock it in. Maybe you have to tell your spouse, hold me accountable to this, know your friend or whatever. But basically, lock it in. And then when you get into this time, when you talk about food, first off, a couple things. Determine your purpose. Okay? Just say, here's what I'm doing. And your purpose doesn't have to be very specific. It can be very broad. It can be creative. It can be whatever you want. It can be something that we talked about. It can be you're going through something of grief. It can be you're in a place of decision. You're trying to hear what God's saying. You're feeling you're weak and you're beyond your limits and you need an empowerment. It can be you sense you just have a burden for something and you're just going to focus on that particular thing as you're praying. Or it can just be to hang out with God, but determine your purpose. And then decide on your time. And it's not unspiritual to plan, you know. So, and prepare. Decide on what you're committing to. And so if it's food, is decide, okay, maybe start with 24 hours, okay? Then maybe decide I'm going to drink juice or I only drink liquid or water or whatever you want to decide or nothing at all, whatever you want to do. Or it's going to be 3 days. I would say that would be two good ways to start. Quite honestly, if you've ever fasted, if you're 2 days, you might as well go three. It actually starts getting better, so you might as well enjoy the last third day on that one. So think about that and decide maybe the third day would be a good one to do. And it'd be open to it. Sometimes I will do a fast where I say, okay, after the first, I will actually pray and decide if I should continue after the first 24 hours. I'm open to you saying extend it. I'm hoping he doesn't sometimes, but he often will say, why don't you go a little longer? You know, you're still pretty tied up and everything. So determine your purpose. Think of your time. What are you committing to? Preparation isn't unspiritual. So, you know, if you got a big Thanksgiving dinner, you might want to wait till the day after. You know, I mean, it's kind of like there's some things you might want to look practically. If you have tons of lunch appointments, you might decide, that's going to be a pain. You know, I'm going to do that. Be practical about it. Adjust things for health. If you have any issues physically, just be smart about that. Your environment, just create environments. And so if you have a place where you use the time that you're using to stop to do something. I had a time one time I was fasting and I was in such a big hurry that I just, oh good, I don't have to, and I keep working through lunch now. That was kind of missing the point, you know. I should have used my time that evening at least to be able to have a time to say it gave me more space. And so often you want to maybe have no media, no radio during that time as well. But fast for God. Don't broadcast it. If you happen to have a lunch appointment, you know, you don't have to lie to them because I don't want to tell them I'm just not hungry. You know, I am starving. But then you're there and you can say, I'm skipping lunch today. You don't have to get big spiritual on it. And then just try not to drool when they're eating their food. Okay, so it helps a lot. Keep that face from being distorted. So a couple things on that is. And you have to realize that when you fast for food, you have to realize that food often covers a lot. So you pull that off, and don't expect to be glorious right away. Expect it to show you things, right? And it's okay to be a little irritated, but just let that take you to God. For media, I would say this. Media, it, kind of the same things are just this logical, is figure out a way of determining your purpose and of why you want to do this. And often that's just to slow things down and give you room. A little often it doesn't have to be quite as specific as fasting with food. And prepare, you know, but don't prepare too much. But I think that a couple things you can do on media, I think that you want to lock up any electronic items, you know, possibly with a secured combination that only is known by, you know, someone in the church or something. So whatever it takes to get everything turned off, if you have to put your voicemail to say I'm not here because I'm being spiritual or whatever you want to do, but make them so you don't feel any pressure on that as you go through it. And so be practical about that. You know, if you have family and you're doing media fast, they may be loving to watch TV and don't put that on them. Figure out a way that the TV's on. What do you do? Just be practical about those kind of things. Work is a little different because that's a little different because it's more stopping. And really, it's like, it's great to know that you have permission to do that. So now some of you may go through withdrawals, but most of you, it's going to be something, the focus is rest, right? It's stopping and not doing. And so I would say that is prepare, that's especially one, prepare but not too much. Clear space. Don't be in a mode of what am I accomplishing? You know, that's not the space you want to create. You want to create where you can find emotional filling and spiritual feelings. That may be you take walks, you garden, you do art, you listen to encouraging music, you read good stuff that's good for your soul, you have times of praying. Probably don't want to go to the mall, you know. Probably don't want to tube out, you know. That's not going to be a good thing if you're trying to rest. Just be smart about that. And it's also helpful often to combine some distraction, keeping media out of it as much as possible during that time that you're stopping from working and doing. The best way to describe stopping and resting and kind of what the Sabbath is for, that we should be doing all the time, but we need places to get back to that, is it's create a snow day. You know what a snow day feels like? I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck, and I have permission to be stuck. And even though I can get to the grocery store, I pretend like I can't get to the grocery store because I'm in snow. And that's why why we feel so good on snow days? Because we're so tired. You know, I don't know how many times I say, well, what did God say to you when you decided to stop? He said, go to sleep and sleep a long time. I mean, we need rest. Take naps. You know, stop. And that blesses you and it blesses God. All right, so just a couple thoughts in closing. is, you know, when I've fasted, I've had times that I have no idea what it did. I have no idea what it did. I just did it, and I'm not saying I regretted doing it. I don't know what it did. I'm guessing it did something, but I don't know much about it. And other times, that literally, it has changed who I am. The circumstances stayed exactly the same. I was hoping they would change. But quite honestly, I changed. Kind of like Emily was talking about it. Something happened inside of me when I stopped, and I changed. So now I was in circumstances with peace. I've had other times that I'm telling you it was dramatic, 180 degrees, transforming over the top. And I've had everything in between that. Now, here's the thing about discipleship. You are the followers of Jesus. And even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you know, this would be a great way of trying to talk to him and ask him who he is and all that. But many of you are following Jesus, and that's what you... And so, as that is, God wants to commune with you and go to deeper spots and show you who you are and show you who he is. And oftentimes, he can't do that without us stopping. And he wants us to step out. And what I mean by that is he honors us when we take these kind of steps and just do something that's opposite of what we naturally feel. He just always gets in on that. And I also think it's really important to realize that we want to be relevant to culture. We want to love the people in the culture. We want to understand the culture. We want to identify with the culture. But man, we cannot take on culture's values. We cannot. We are the church. We're being set apart. We're distinct. And to do that, we have to realize our culture is work, food, and media. And within that, all kinds of worldview just flying at us. How do you stop? You know, how do you keep from having that become your leash and doing you from God? You have to pull away from it. You can't see it when you're in it in a way you need to. And so I encourage you to really take it seriously what God's doing and begin asking him, how can I stop? How can I fast? And God, show me how to do it in a way that all this takes me to a place that I'm rewarded, like you say. Would you stand? I'd like the worship team to come up.